time again for our segment on language pet peeves. We've received hundreds of emails from listeners telling us tales of mangled and tangled English, all sorts of complaints from mispronunciations to misplaced modifiers, and the misuse of words like lie and lay. So joining us from member station KPBS in San Diego to sort out all this confusion is our language guru, Richard Lederer. Welcome, Richard.
Great to be with you, Jackie.
Lie or lay? Seems to me that you lay something on the table and you lie down. Is it more complicated than that?
No, not really, but some people make it more complicated. Lie means to repose, lay means to put. You lay something and then it lies there. And the mistake you get, Jackie, is you lay something on the table, then it is lying there. It's not laying there.
You're not lying. Well, we've had a couple of people call in. First, we have Michael Gluckman from Delray Beach, Florida. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thank you.
Tell us about your language pet peeve.
Well, people have been using the word literally when trying to magnify a figurative expression. I actually heard a news anchor recently say it was literally a day from hell. And they try to
That would have been a good one to see.
Right? A major news anchor, too.
Well, to err is human, but when they get paid that much money, Richard, you would think perhaps they might know the difference. What do you say?
Jackie, one that I remember very vividly, years ago, Michael Jordan had the flu in a crucial six-game finals for the NBA, and the announcer said, and Michael Jordan is literally dead on his feet. And of course, literally means by the letter, and if you're speaking figuratively, as in dead on the feet or a day from hell, then you should not say literally. You could say figuratively, but better not to say anything. Just Jordan is dead on his feet. And I'll tell you, Jackie and Michael, I think this is American overspeak. I think it is the same source as very unique. Somehow unique isn't enough. It's very unique. And so, Michael, I'm with you, and maybe now it will stop since you've been on the show.
I think we need to really get the word out there because it's quite annoying.
Well, Michael, Yes. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
That was Michael Gluckman of Delray Beach, Florida. Next up, Larry Glanzer in Chesapeake, Virginia. Mr. Glanzer, I think you're going to give us all an English lesson that none of us understood or paid attention to back in school.
Well, it's one that I paid attention to, and I hear it. I hear the rule broken on a daily basis, and it's like fingernails on a blackboard for me. It's the use of gerunds and gerund phrases without possessives. So, for example, you'll hear people say, I appreciate you taking the time to discuss this matter with me, instead of I appreciate your taking the time. The sentence doesn't really make sense if you use an objective pronoun, for example, or really anything other than the possessive.
Why does that sound so harsh to our ears, Richard?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I can say much more than Larry. He has said it so beautifully, but I think in that case, using the accusative, the object for the pronoun, does sound harsh, and that is they were amazed at me running for president rather than amazed at my running for president. Jackie, it's because the real object of the verb or the preposition is running for president. And therefore, the pronoun simply should be a possessive rather than an object. So go with just what Larry says, possessive before the gerund.
Possessive before the gerund. Thanks very much, Larry.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
That was Larry Glanzer in Chesapeake, Virginia. And finally, Dick Brown joins us from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Dick, welcome. Would you give us your language pet peeve?
Hi, yes. My pet peeve is verbing words. And I think the best example of that comes from a book that I've been reading by Steven Pinker, Words and Rules, where he uses a cartoon from Calvin and Hobbes, one of my favorite cartoons, where Calvin says to Hobbes, I like to verb words. I take nouns and adjectives and use them as verbs. Remember when access was a thing? Now it's something you do. It got verbed. Verbing weird's language.
What do you say, Richard?
I was all set when Dick brought up that topic to use the same Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. It really weirds the language. I love verbing nouns. Here's what I would say. This one is case by case. And what I mean, Dick and Jackie and our vast listening audience, is I do not think there should be a knee-jerk reaction against any noun that becomes a verb. It is the nature of American English to combine nouns and verbs, that is to give a word a double use. In comes the word email as a noun. 2 seconds later, everybody is saying, I'll email you, which is fine. Why should we say, I'll send you an email? So there is nothing wrong with a noun becoming a verb. It's only when it is kind of useless. For example, impact, I think it is one of the most bloated verbs around. What happened to the words affect and influence? I think they're perfectly good verbs. So, Dick, take it on a case-by-case basis.
I will indeed. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for writing in.
Great.
Dick Brown of Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. We thank the hundreds of listeners who've written about their language pet peeves. If you have a language question for our expert, Richard Lederer, please write to us at watc@npr.org. Be sure to tell us your name, the day and evening phone numbers, and where you're from. Richard, thank you so very much.
In the name of good grammar, thank you, Jackie.
In the name of good grammar, we'll see you next time.